which would be fine with me if he did that. Psalm 119, let's get to the Bible lesson tonight. Here in Psalm 119, 176 verses, 22 sections of 8 verses each, and each one of them start with a different Hebrew letter. You've got Aleph and Bet and all of the different ones. If you've got those, Gimel and Dalet and He and Vav and Zayin and Het and Tet, and then of course tonight you'll see this J-O-D, and this is the 10th, stands for the number 10. And this Hebrew letter is in equivalence to, well, the number 10, and also it represents a hand. You'll notice in verse 73, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us now the next few minutes. Bless your Bible study. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Every one of these sections has a different application that you can apply. All of it deals with the Bible, the Word of God, the statutes, commandments, all the different things and the different words that it's used to talk about the Bible. And every one of these sections deals with some application of how the Bible deals with us. And then tonight, these 8 verses deals with how the Bible can provide consolation for us when we face troubles and trials, especially when you may not be going through a trial, you may not have anything going on, but just mark some things down. It's coming, because a man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, and so you just wait. It's coming, and it's normal. It's normal for the believer and the believer's faith to be tested from time to time. That's normal. Even the Bible says, beloved, in 1 Peter over there, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You say, "Bridger, why do I have to go through so many trials and so many troubles and heartaches and disappointments? And what is God trying to do to me? What is he trying to show me?" Well, I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul gives us something, and in 2 Corinthians 1:4, and it's what it says, "Who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So when you are comforted by the word, when you go through a trial, one of the reasons you're doing that is so you will be able to comfort someone else through the word when they go through their trial. Now let me give you just a few things, a few long things. Number one, the fashioning of the hands of the Lord. The fashioning of the hands of the Lord. Verse 73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me." You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That means the psalmist is giving credit to God. He's not an evolutionist. He doesn't believe we come from monkeys. He does not believe we're some a splot of protoplasm and just a blob of blood. No, he believes that we're a real person fashioned by the hands of Almighty God. He gives God the acknowledgement that he is the creator and the creator of all things. You see that word, thy hands have made. That's the same word that's found in Genesis 1:27. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. It's also the same word that says male and female made he them. Amen. And so, same word. So the Lord, God Almighty, his hands have made you. They fashioned you. And so he's asking, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Jeremiah over there. I'm just giving you these real quickly. Jeremiah says, before I formed. Now, for those abortionists and those that say that it's not a human or doesn't have life until it's born or whatever. Jeremiah 1:5. The Bible is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. It doesn't make any difference what the Supreme Court says and what they voted on and what their decision is. God has already voted. Jeremiah 1:5, if you want to remember this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Talking about Jeremiah. Ain't that something? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Jeremiah was a real person. Amen. Before he was ever born, the Lord knew him, knew what he was going to be. And also the Bible says over there in Ephesians, 2:89, for by grace you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10 says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Every person in this room was created for the glory and the admonition of the Lord. Every person in here, let me say it again. Some of you are asleep. Every person in here has different fingerprints. You have you're unique, you're different, and God made you that way. He formed you that way. He fashioned you that way. You are the workmanship of the Lord. And over in Psalm 139, he says, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that thy soul knoweth right well. He fashioned, you were fashioned by the very hands of God. You have a purpose. You have a plan. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. If you want to know what that is, let's see, Revelation chapter 4, about verse number 11. He says, for his pleasure, thou were and are created. You were created. Here's the whole thing of the Psalms, or the psalmist, what he's saying. He says, God knew me before I was even formed in the belly. He formed me, he fashioned me, and so now that I have been born into this world, my job is to find out why he created me, what purpose he wants me to do for him, to bring glory and honor to him. See, that is the whole purpose. It's not to make $1 million before you die. It's not to build a three-story house before you die. That's not God's purpose. Now, if you got that, that's well and great. But you need to find out what God's purpose is for you in your life. Find out what it is, get in it, and stay in it until he comes and gets us. That's what the psalmist says. And so you got the fashioning of the hands of the Lord, and then you've got the fear toward God. Now look at verse 474. That they fear thee, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now, people that fear God like to hang around people that fear God. Amen. People that fear God like to hang around people that fear God. I like to hang around y'all. Y'all believe like I do. Most of you. I'm honest. I'm telling y'all, God knows my heart. I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not trying to just feed you a line. I'd rather be here with you than at the mall with a bunch of cussing people that I don't know. Hallelujah. I'm serious. I'd rather be with God-fearing people. Amen. So this is what the psalmist David said. He says, I was fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm going to find out what my purpose is in life. I'm going to get in it. And I'm going to hang around people that fear God like I do. And this is what he said. He said David was undergoing some afflictions. And his peers, they're looking. So when you're going through affliction, people are looking. They're watching. See how you respond. And because you're going to be able to help them by how you respond to affliction. David says they're looking at me. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Have you ever seen somebody and they're going through trouble and trial and this, that, and the other? And you're watching them. And you're saying, I don't know how in the world you made it through that. But however you did that, please write it down. Because when I go through it, I'm going to need your help through that. They're looking for it. They're looking at you. And you're looking at people. You're going, I do not know how in the world they made it through that. I don't know how much more they can take. But they're doing a wonderful job at it. And I'm taking note of it. And I'm going to write it down. I want them to write it down. Because one of these days I'm going to dial their phone number. And I'm going to say, hey, you remember when you went through that? I need your help. I'm going through the same door. And so God-fearing men are encouraged when they meet with experienced believers. One of these days you're going to be able to help. You're going to be able to comfort. David's victories during the time of troubles and storms would be a source of strength to those who were watching him. How's your testimony when you're going through troubles and trials? How's your testimony? Because there's other people watching. And they're watching to see how you're going to make it through. And all how you make it through might determine if they make it through or fail. Amen. So you got the fashioned. You got the fear. And then in 75, you got the fullness. The fullness of the affliction. He says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, we was talking about last week the chastening hand of the Lord, and God does chasten. I've been there. A testimony, I'm telling you. Can't got time to tell you, but I'm telling you. I ain't always done right. I still don't always do right. But I can tell you when I don't always do right, the Lord will get you. And when he gets you, you can look up to heaven and say, thank the Lord I'm his. Because if I wasn't his, he wouldn't worry about getting me. The devil would already have me. But I'm his, and he whoops me because I'm his. And when I get a whooping, I say, Lord, thank you. I didn't like the whooping, but I sure do appreciate you loving me. And so he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. You whooped me, and it was based upon the word of God. Your judgments are right. Not arguing with that, Lord. And that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Now, basically this is what he says. He says, God, I know you created me, and you are my father. And that by you being my father, you have every right to whoop me. You have every right to train me up. You have every right to chasten me because you fashioned me. You made me. And you raised me up and you formed me in that womb. You've got a plan and purpose for my life and you're my father. I gave my heart and life to you. And Lord, because you are my father, you have every right to train me and chasten me when I need a good whooping. Lord, you have every right. Your word is right. Your judgments are right in doing so. Your parents wouldn't be good parents if they let you have ice cream for breakfast every morning. They wouldn't be good parents. But you'd ask a child, oh, I got good parents. They give me ice cream every morning for breakfast. Oh, I got my mama and daddy loves me. And as this kid over here is going, well, my mom and daddy don't give me ice cream every morning for breakfast. They make me eat broccoli and... My mom and daddy hates me. But now, which parent, you see? Parents, I know, and most of the kids are not in here, but look, and I, listen, I did the best I could. I got two grown married, one still at the house, and she ain't going nowhere for a while, you understand? Boys are really not that big of a deal. Girls, there's something different. If you think there's there is a difference. And so anyway, let me just tell you, sometimes they just need to hear the word no. Even if there's nothing wrong with them doing whatever they want to do, every now and then just say, no, you can't do that. Well, why? Basically because you just hollered why at me. Why? They need a balance. They need a balance of the benefits, the ice cream, and they need a benefit of the affliction and eat their broccoli too. If it's all ice cream, when they grow up and get out into this world, and the first time their boss at work don't offer them ice cream, and you wonder why a bunch of adults act like a bunch of brats, because they're unbalanced. Every now and then, just tell them no, just to balance the thing out. It may not be anything wrong with what they're asking to do. Just tell them no every now and then. About 5 times a week. Just no. Amen. I don't know much, but I've learned a little bit. And most of them are unbalanced. They're told yes, 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 yes all the time. They never hear no. And then when they get out of the house, and then the first time somebody tells them no, and the first time some policeman pulls them over and says, let me see your driver's license, no! And they're trained not to respect authority, and we're facing that right now. Because you've got a bunch of hoodlums and a bunch of thugs that have never been told no in their whole life. Oh, yeah, we done left the outline now. We started preaching on a Wednesday night. You want your kids to be balanced. Amen. The fullness of the affliction. The fullness is to be a balance. You want a balance. You don't want all benefits. You don't want all ice cream. You don't want all candy. That's all well and good every now and then. But you better balance her out. Are you going to be raising a brat? Hallelujah. Well, where was it? Oh, you got the fashion, you got the fear, you got the fullness, and then you got the favor. In verse 76, you got the favor. He said, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. He says, let the merciful kindness be for my comfort. Here's an appeal for comfort. Hey, have y'all ever done... I'm trying to remember. Yeah, mom and daddy, they did this. Y'all probably did this too. After you get a whooping. Y'all ready? After you get a whooping. All right, give me a hug. No! You just beat the fire out of me. I ain't hugging nobody. And, you know, dad gives you that spiel, and mom gives you that spiel. Hey, I did it because I love you. Come on. Give me a... And you about halfway do it. And the tighter they hug, the more you are like, you know, they do love me. Psalmist David says, yes, the fullness of the affliction, yes. But after that, hallelujah, I'm feeling something. God, give me a hug. God, let thy tender mercies. Yes, I needed a whooping. You were right in doing so. Your judgments are right. But Lord, put your hands around me and hug me. That's what David said. He says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort after you get finished whooping me according to thy word unto thy servant. Put your arms around me. I know I ain't got time for all this. Hebrews 12:11. You ain't got to turn there, but let me read it to you. Listen at this. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. How many of you was laughing when you got a whooping? It was but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That whooping that God gives you is because he loves you. It may not be joyous when he's a whooping you. It's grievous when he's whooping you. But after, on the other side of it, it's going to yield peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oh, yeah. Let me get on. The fashion, the fear, the fullness, the favor. Let me give you the faith. The faith of the believer. You got the appeal for comfort, and now you got an appeal in verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live. All right, so he's appealing for a longer life. I want to live. Extend my days, Lord, that I might make thy word the delight of my life. That's what he says. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, Ephesians says. But that which is good to use edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Amen. Now, let me give you this. Look at verse 78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. You got 77, a saved person. There's a compel that an appeal that I may extend my days, Lord, that I may delight in your word. Now 78 is the unsaved. Watch this. Let the proud be ashamed. Now watch this. Here's a contrast. I got to hurry. Got too much information for tonight. But here's an example of Lazarus and the rich man. The Lazarus and rich man in Luke 16. Abraham said, son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. That's why y'all were living. But now Lazarus is comforted, and the rich man found himself tormented. That Bible can comfort you. If you're a believer. If you're lost, it is going to torment you. And then you got the faithful testimony of the consolation. There's an appeal. And we'll end with this. Look at 79 and 80. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I may, or that I be not ashamed. Now this is what he said. He said, let those that fear thee, let those that fear the Lord turn unto me. In other words, same thing like he said a while ago. I like hanging around people that fear God like I do, that are saved like I am, that's going to the same heaven I'm going. I like to be around those folks. I need those folks. I need a Wednesday night service to get me through the rest of the week. I can't go through I can't do it just one time a week. I got to have a Wednesday night service around God's people. I do. You may not. I do. I got to have that kind of, let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimony. I need to hang around somebody that knows that Bible. Let me say it again. I need to hang around somebody that knows that Bible. Amen. Romans 12, he says this, verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, over there in Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of good wisdom over there. This is what he said. Listen to this one real good. You say, some people have the attitude, I don't need anybody. I don't need church. I'm my own man. I'm a self-made man. I don't need nobody. I can have church on the riverbank or out in the woods somewhere. I can be my own. I'll just, you know. That gets on my nerves. I'm about to get it. Let me get one of my pet peeves out. I'm an old man. I don't need nobody. I don't need nobody. I can be out here on my own, man. I can do man. I can worship the Lord out here. Well, I tell you what. When you want somebody to marry your kids and bury your dead, let the woods do it. Don't call me. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, I've always said that's about suspenders, but I told a preacher one time he had a suspenders and a belt. And I said, man, that's a good godly thing you did. You wear a belt and suspender. Usually you have one or the other. You wear a belt or suspenders. You usually don't wear both. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, Ecclesiastes says two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I need you. And whether you like it or not, you need me. And I need you. I'm not a self-made man. I need people. I like being around people. I don't like being by myself. I like being around folks. And not just anybody. I like being around folks that have the same mind frame as far as the faith and believe the Lord and all that kind of thing. That's what the psalmist David says. That's what he says. He says, to get me through the afflictions, to get me through the tough times, to get through the rough times of life, you need God's people. You need the comfort of His Word, but you need God's people. And I'm thankful for you. I am. I'm thankful for every one of you. And I know I say things sometimes that a lot of people wouldn't say. That's why the Lord called me and He didn't call you. He knew I'd say it and you wouldn't. Hallelujah.